Carl Herman, Mission Viejo, Joe Olson, Houston, Texas, Chris Wider, Parts Unknown, Need to Know News. This is Wednesday, the 28th of August, 2024. Let's take a look at those topics and get some opening statements. All right, we're going to the war. Two updates with that. Some of the Harris facts and optics, just 9+ weeks to the election, 69 days. And that the official bullshit requires official censorship to survive arrests. Because they annually kill millions, harm billions, and loot trillions. RFK2 plus the Trump audiences, is that going to create some breakthrough truths? We got COVID updates. And what forms will the breakthrough, breakout, breakdown manifest? Joe, opening statement, brother.
Last week, one of my favorite websites, a guy named Colin Heaton at Forgotten History, did a little bit of a take on Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. And just by coincidence, yesterday there was a site that's called Proven Conspiracies, CIA MK Ultra Project and its Victims. And this goes into a little bit of background on Ted Kaczynski. Turns out he was like a child prodigy, graduated from high school when he was like 15, got a full scholarship to Harvard as a 16-year-old. Had no support there. He goes to Harvard. They put him in a dorm, and immediately he gets approached by an MK Ultra guy, and he starts dosing him with LSD and abusing him every possible way that you could in order to break him down so he could rebuild him and find out how the human psychic really works. So he was driven to madness as a teenager by MK Ultra. Absolutely disgusting. I highly recommend that people go to this site, Proven Conspiracies. They've had several different good ones lately, and this one is called CIA's Dark MK Ultra Project and Its Victims. I'll try to link it, but I've got a problem with linking stuff because neither my tablet or my iPhone can tell me the difference between a big I and a little L. And so if it has more than two of those numbers alphabets in the URL, then I have to sit there and go back and forth. Well, let's put in capital I's here and here. Let's put in little L's here and here. Let's put in one capital here and one little there, one capital here, one. So it's a real iterative process to try to be able to figure out. I don't know why they can't distinguish between a capital I and a little L. I mean, it seems like it's easy enough thing to do. But honestly, even with a jeweler's loop and magnifying the screen, there's no way of telling consistently between one and the other of these stupid little Android, Microsoft, LinkedIn-owned properties. It's absolute bullshit that we have to deal with this, but that's I'll try to link it at BitChute.
Thank you, Joe. Chris, opening statement.
Crisco.
Chris, you're muted. Maybe he had to do something. All right, we'll go on to.
Michael, yeah. Can you hear me?
Just now, yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. I can hear you. You're marked as muted on the screen, but I hear you now. And now we don't. Huh? All right. We will go on.
Hey, can you hear me? Hello.
Oh,
hello.
Yeah, now we can try now. Opening statement, start.
Yeah, I got kicked off there. You're talking about Professor Murray. He was involved with Gottlieb in the MKUltra CIA program through the Harvard Trust. He was a tenured professor there. Kaczynski was one of many people that were targeted and recruited. And I think it was part of the hazing rituals and the initiation rituals, which he obviously was not prepared for and failed, that caused the schism. And maybe he was just really pissed off about what they were doing to him and didn't take it well. But then Kaczynski, years later, starts seeking revenge against some of these people involved with the very same program. And you remember, they made him sound like a complete and total lunatic. They put his manifesto out, but in all honesty, he sounds more sane than the supposed authorities calling him a terrorist when you look at his manifesto and what he warns about with the dangers of technology. So, they really made him out to seem like a radical terrorist, extremist, And I wouldn't be surprised if the FBI was fabricating much of the evidence against him, or maybe even putting some of those bombs out and saying they're from him, just to gift wrap him up in a federal orange penitentiary jumpsuit. So yeah, these guys are scum of the earth, and anybody that takes any recourse against them is hammered with the full weight of the media and the law enforcement agencies. I just want to put that out there. Great stuff, guys.
Brian Davidson, about 2 weeks ago, just asked me, "Hey, do you think that this Kaczynski guy, was he right?" So I read a little bit of the manifesto, especially just the talking points there, and in brilliant guy, his conclusion seemed to be that technology was not going to be helpful to human beings, and he was missing the context of who's using the technology. It's a neutral tool, but certainly in the world that we are exiting from. Hopefully, technology and everything else was used to coerce, to control, to stupefy human beings into a subservient, hated, and non-self-expressed race.
Yeah,
Yeah,
Carl, they ridiculed him with the media too, and they definitely made his position look like an extreme terrorist absurdity, and certainly not a logical one like it truly was. And if you look back with the benefit of hindsight, Kaczynski was spot on and more than right about what he said back in the mid-90s. And this, of course, was part of the PATCON operation while that was going on, going after American patriots with the ADL and the FBI and many other alphabet agencies. Setting them up and trapping them and using the media to make them look like radical extremists. Very similar to what you see now. Anybody that resisted COVID or the vax or any of the other bullshit, same thing, right?
Yep, same thing. And that's going to be one of the topics we're talking about today is that the officials are closing in on the censorship. Joe, you got more?
Yeah, he graduated from Harvard with a degree in mathematics, went back to Chicago, got a master's degree in mathematics, and then was accepted at Berkeley, where he got a PhD in mathematics and was the youngest tenured professor at Berkeley for 2 years when he finally got fed up and he left.
When was he at Berkeley? Do you know?
When he was 25 years old is when he started teaching there.
Okay. All right. All right. No, I missed him at both
In the
Berkeley
70s.
and Harvard.
Yeah,
Okay.
Berkeley's a DARPA cesspool too. If you look at like Napolitano and all the people that were the dean of students there, yeah, this is a DARPA cesspool, a place where they use college students to develop intellectual property for DARPA tech because they don't have to compensate them to the full extent. They don't have to reward them for patents or anything like that. They can just do their work through the university.
Okay. All right. We'll see. When he was I'll have to look it up, see if we were there at the same place. When I was at Harvard, I'm pretty sure I met one of the people who were the controllers in the Graduate School of Education. This guy, what was his name? I forget his name, but he was in the Nixon administration. And of course, in academia, if you get somebody like me who's an independent thinker and is actually promoting solutions to solve real world problems, they have to exclude you. And both at Berkeley and Harvard, I met those guys. I met controllers at Berkeley too as a student. And I went from being a A plus student to receiving consistently the lowest grades that were given at the time at Berkeley, which was C minus. And this was despite the fact that I was already a key volunteer with results.org. I was briefing members of Congress. I had initiated, I created a, I didn't create it, but I was one of the key players to create a softball tournament to inform people on the facts for ending poverty and that we can do so both in the United States and around the world. I was a key player to organize the 1980 California U.S. Senate candidate debate on hunger. So you would think that anybody who wanted to promote real-world solutions would get on board and support this student doing this work. But no, they ridiculed me, and the anger from one of the professors was extraordinary, and his TA. And I consistently received the lowest grade possible for doing all of the work and producing cogent papers of a C minus. When I went to Harvard, I received the new lowest grade possible with grade inflation, which was a B minus. They have to gatekeep people like me out. I'll tell one more story. So at Harvard, I decided I would take a finance class because I didn't know anything about, district finances as a classroom teacher. And but I read everything and I understand what I read. And so what I wrote, I was kind of apologetic on the papers that I wrote because, gee, I really don't have any practical experience except what I read. That's all I read. And in terms of what I read, this is what I see. And the professor introduced me to the superintendent of New York Public Schools and said, "This is one of the most brilliant students I have ever had." And he recommended that the superintendent hire me in something to do with finance. And that kind of blindsided me. And I said, "That's very kind of you to say, sir, but my gift is really in the classroom working and inspiring students." And that had no traction. So they only want to support people who can just parrot whatever it is that they read and are useful within the machine. All right, let us go to two updates about the war. First, breaking news: Israel seizes cryptocurrencies of all Palestinians. So they claim that everybody in Gaza is a terrorist, and terrorists can't have money. So you're going to take all their cryptocurrencies. And that's just in the ongoing obvious lie started illegal war of aggression. And sure, in BitChute, I'll put in the notes the paper that I have that documents that Israel is a pariah state. Dr. Peter McCullough, won't someone be the voice of sanity? A new eye-opening Q&A series with Dr. Peter McCullough, part four. Now, Dr. Peter makes a good point here, and I just want to point this out. I wonder how there can be a war in Ukraine when there's no embedded reporting. There's no report of where the battle lines are. Normally, when there's a war, there's daily reporting. You have correspondents from BBC, CNN, and other global networks. So the idea that we're seeing what might be some kind of a scripted war, I don't know what it is. I don't know much of anything. But I do know on the surface, as we've talked about in Ukraine, we're talking about color revolutions and the installation of a NATO puppet regime, as always, shelling the Donbass for 8 years, killing, I don't even remember anymore. We were talking about something like 15,000 people, Russian speaking in the East Donbass. And finally, the Russians came in to intervene against the military attacks on civilians by the puppet government. Joe, your thoughts.
Well, let's just stick to one theater of battle at this particular point. Haaretz, which is the official state mouthpiece for the Israelis, had an interesting article. After Iran steals sensitive IDF data, Israel censors the internet. And they go on to state that there's gigabytes worth of data that were taken. And turns out what happened to that data is that it ended up on Telegram and it ended up on WikiLeaks. And now people are able to cross-reference all of the bullshit and conspiracies that are going on inside the Israeli government. So then what do? They invite Pavel Durov to Paris to have dinner with Macron and arrest him at the airport. And then Macron says, "I never invited him for dinner. I was at another place. I couldn't have had dinner with him. I was out of town that day." It's like, oh, that's a real clever excuse, you Micron weasel. Absolute bullshit, because they don't have a social media network that's based in Europe at all. And the EU wants to have something where they can have their own social media presence. And this one was based out of Russia. And so now they issued an arrest warrant for his PhD brother, who's also a genius and is still living in Russia, so that they can try to hijack the whole entire telegraph system and start using it as a propaganda machine for the EU, the same way that the CIA uses Facebook and Instagram and did use Twitter and all the rest of the bullshit that we've got here in this country. It's like absolute 100% crap. And what they don't control, they'll destroy.
Thank you, Joe. Chris.
That's exactly right. They don't need leave much to chance. They're trying to corner the markets and all marketable outlets of of social media and these military weapons of mass destruction that are being guised as innocuous things. These social engineering weapons, these are things that you're seeing used as weapons too, because they're very selective as far as allowing access or even promoting reach, things of the sort. They can do a number of things to censor you flat out outright with the app itself and even the service that delivers the app. These are all basically Israeli-run corporations, DARPA tech proxies that are run by dual citizens of Israel and agents of London. And the United States is being attacked from within. It's being foisted the political capital and the debt that they're seeing that's creating all these companies and these breakaway technocratic feudal arrangements. Think about that, the way they put these billionaires up. Every one of them is a dual Israeli citizen. If they're not, then they're a satanic pedophile like Gates or Bezos or these other creeps, you know? Look at the PayPal mafia. Look, they have a whole apparatus designed to enslave humanity under the guise of freedom. So this is an inversion independence thing that I talk about. This is an illusion. Enslave people is to deceive them into thinking that they are free. And most people will try to realize their servitude with these inversions of rhetoric and certainly find ways to absolve themselves and this group of accountability for any sort of action, behavior, and consequence. So yeah, we're going to face punishment in the collective judgment from these all wealth from our empire and then doomed it to fail intentionally. And then jump ship to create bricks through Goldman Sachs and the other Israeli firms that you're seeing now. So yeah, this is all part of the plan to control demolition of the petrodollar. And it's no coincidence that BRICS was a Goldman Sachs of 2001, a few months before 9/11, a few weeks before Lucky Larry Silverstein bought his famous double indemnity insurance project with the WTC. So these guys have had this plan for a while. Netanyahu wrote a book about this in the 90s. Paul Wolfowitz and the Project for the New American Century guys have been talking about this stuff for a long time. They were getting heat from the PatCon pushback, and then 9/11 happened, and they went through and swept anybody that was worth a damn. And now we are where we are 20 years later.
Not
Yeah, you're
only are
not.
we gaslit that we're free, we're gaslit that we're joyfully free. Joe.
Yes. You're not a customer. You're a product with these people. Alphabet has the monopoly of Google and YouTube. Microsoft bought LinkedIn so that they can data mine you there. And Meta owns Facebook and Instagram. So, there's almost no, and then one they didn't own was TikTok. So what'd they do? They went after TikTok and said it was a Chinese front company and forced TikTok to get some shell ownership that could be controlled by this same group of Nazis. Absolutely disgusting. At what part of 1984 do you not see it?
Joe, they're using WhatsApp as an assassination tool too. Look at that thing.
Yeah, I forgot to mention WhatsApp. You're right.
As an assassination tool, what do you mean?
Like a Pokemon Go for pedophiles. It's they're using this to take out everybody in the sandbox over there. Anybody that's got WhatsApp, they can basically backdoor their devices. They can take your car and even hack it, like Annie Hesch style or whatever. I mean, they can do a lot of crazy shit. Michael Hastings, there's a bunch of others too. This is not a new thing. Like I say, people, I guess they don't even consider the possibility of these quote unquote suspicions that I'm referring to, but these are actualities and these are designed with these loopholes for this very intention. If you follow the Israeli intelligence firms and the private sector social media companies that we're referring to, there's some very, very eerie close connections. And then if you get into the funding of this, it ties into to the crypto, FTX, CBDC, the Fed. Different programs all run through the same usual suspects to fund these things to create this asymmetrical surveillance mechanism that's used against us and to enslave us all.
You
You
speak
control
German.
like people's biometric data. You can control their financial data. You can control the like we talk about the fair value of things. You can control wages, resources, cost of goods, supplies. These guys have literally put these systems in place sub rosa under our noses. And the people that stood up and tried to warn people about it were gaslit and dismissed and ridiculed to the point where, we're at where we're at now. I mean, and now a lot of people are starting to wake up and people are freaked the fuck out, but we got to figure out a way to deal with this and to get away from this Leviathan, because there's no prepping or running from this, man. It's going to chase you down and force you into servitude no matter who you are. So our only hope is to try to uncolonize ourselves and form a new alternative, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Gary Webb out at the Monterey Meteor, I believe is where he was. He was a reporter that was putting all the pieces together on the cocaine trafficking that was part of Iran-Contra, and they snuffed him twice in the head with a revolver is how he committed suicide. And then the shipments were coming through El Toro Air Force Base, and the commander of the base was James Sabo, and he went out in the backyard one day and blew his head off with a shotgun. Because he was fixing to squeal and tell everybody what was going on. And then Hakeem Hagopian also had a great article this week where he mentioned the guy named Danny Costellero, who in 1991 was doing tracing on the Octopus, which is the international drug racketeering done by the CIA. Trump has his work cut out for him. Actually wants to be a monumental president and disassemble this crap, but I just don't have any confidence in him. And I don't have any confidence in G taking over the CIA. It Junior has one good place to be, and that is the FDA, because they got plenty of crap. They just issued an emergency use authorization for the new 1920 or 2024 COVID, which is KP3.1.1, and they just offered an EAU without any human trials, which were all faked anyway, because they had done animal testing and said it's similar to the other ones, and this thing has an almost zero fatality rate. So why would you let them jab you with another mRNA when you already know the impacts from every one of them, including the defective PCR tests? Absolutely disgusting that you have any trust at all in these organizations. And Robert Kennedy could go in with a good U.S. Attorney General and prosecute every one of these son of a bitches at every one of these big pharma companies and at the FDA. And he's also said he's going to make food healthy again, which includes getting rid of the stupid seed oils, which was the very first thing that the Pure Food and Drug Act, creating the FDA, approved in 1905, was Crisco for the Procter & Gamble company, so they could find something to do with the piles of cottonseed that were rotting outside of every cotton gin in the United States. And they fed it to cattle and it killed them. They fed it to chickens and it killed them. And they said, well, what if we squeeze the juice out of it and make it oil and we'll call it vegetable oil? Yeah, like cotton is a vegetable now. Freaking insane.
Yes. And for Gary Webb, he was at the San Jose Mercury News, and shooting that those two gunshots to the head was ruled a suicide because when you commit suicide, it happens a lot that you shoot yourself in the head twice.
They're just killing people flat out. I mean, look at Bill Cooper, what they did with him. They shot him on his fucking doorstep, in front of his kid. These guys are unbelievable what they're doing. Look at Phil Marshall, same thing. They murdered his whole family and said he did it and popped himself twice in the head. This is absolute bullshit, guys. This is, and I think that's part of the absurdity, and part of it is those that are paying attention know it's bullshit. And it's almost like a fear tactic where it kind of, I don't know, I think it forces people into silence. That aren't really fully committed to not only exposing the truth, but then doing something the fuck about it,
All right, next. We are going to Harris Facts and Optics. 9+
Hey,
weeks until the election. Yes.
Carl, sorry to cut in you. I just had another point I forgot to mention. The COVID thing. That COVID mania, they literally replaced COVID with the flu and then hyper sensationalized in the media all the fear and panic about the 200,000 deaths that had come from quote unquote COVID, which is natural flu deaths every year. And then they pushed the vaccine as the problem reaction solution thing, right? And then that thing ends up in 2 to 5 years maiming and killing, you know, what, 20, 30 million people, probably, you know, athletes suddenly dying, crazy things, right? And they don't say a word about it. And 2 years goes by, you know, they have Ukraine, Gaza, all the other distractions. And then they come up with monkeypox. What, a few handful of people end up having afflictions with that? And then they want to shut down the world and do the lockdowns and push the vaccine things on everybody again, right? And these are the guys that have murdered, what, 30, 20 million people, whatever, and not a word from the media, who's obviously very complicit in this and understandably why they wouldn't say anything about it. But I mean, when is anybody going to do anything about this? You know what I mean? This is a mass genocide. This is like a Holodomor, and it's gone on. And I hear people throwing this shit around, Holocaust, Holodomor. This is happening right the fuck now, and nobody's doing a fucking thing about it.
Yeah, I think we got about 69 days until the election, and if we don't have a clear path forward, I think a lot of patriots are going to be motivated
Election. It's
to take
fucking
action.
Israel. The whole ballot, Carl, is Israel. That's bullshit. We know it.
Okay. All right, on to Harris. Gavin Newsom. I've been told to say Harris' nomination was an open process, and we did play that clip about a week ago. And that's what he said. That's what he was claiming. He's been told to say that, and he said it with a smirk. Watch, former Obama intern and Democrat campaign worker speaks out after attending the DNC as a volunteer. And what she said in her experience is that it was just a big party. They don't care about any of the small people. All of the important people are just calling up the rich people in order to squeeze money out of them, and then they ignore the issues about the damage that the party is doing. And that is a great realization. Oh, so walls are fine now. Play a little bit of this. That was a talking point at the time that they used that this was a vanity project, the wall. And this was when she was in the Senate. And a complete waste of taxpayer money. Won't make us any safer. Absolute, won't support it. I'll let her speak for herself.
We cannot continue to have an administration and a president of the United States who puts his vanity projects ahead of the needs of the people of our country. And let me just be more clear about that. I've been to the border. I prosecuted transnational criminal organizations. The idea that he is trying to say that we have people that are trying to invade our country to commit mass crime is a crisis of his own making. You talk with the people who take an oath to protect our border, and they will tell you the trafficking that is happening of drugs and guns coming into our country, it's happening at ports of entry. We don't need a multi-billion dollar wall. That wall ain't gonna stop them. We need resources at our ports of entry. And of course, we need to have border security. But this is a crisis of his own making because it was a campaign pledge that took heat and propelled him to victory. And he feels the need to keep reciting what is a lie.
So now She's pledging to spend hundreds of millions of dollars for the wall. And she did oppose that. Announced she's using Trump's border wall as part of her campaign ads.
Hey Carl, have you seen that CGI thing report about the crowd maker? Like, where they don't have to use CrowdStrike anymore and hire like guild actors and crisis actors to go fill the seats when these guys come to town and rally. They now can just green screen or load these people, these fakes into the crowd and make it look like, you know, there's support for these idiots that they're calling politicians. This is insane. You know, this is such perception management, and literally it is a psychological warfare against its own citizenry, and the military has to be behind this in some way. Or if they're not stopping this, then they're certainly condoning it. And it certainly, to me, seems like a violation of Constitution, just about every single right we could ever have, and even just on the right side of history, morality, humanity, and whatnot. These guys got to face justice. This is an absolute criminal organization that has been put in place under the guise of an authority. So we got a big fucking problem, guys. I don't think Q's gonna solve it. I don't think Trump's there to help. These guys are part of it.
An in-depth analysis of her genealogy, and her mom's from India, and her dad is combination of India and Scottish, and they were his dad. Her dad's family was one of the largest slave owners down in Jamaica, and so she doesn't have any more African blood in her body than Elizabeth Warren has powwow Indian blood in her body. They're both absolute 100% hypocrites. And when Trump comes out with an announcement, I'm not going to tax tips for workers and restaurants and bars. She goes, "Oh, that's a terrible idea." 3 weeks later, she goes, "I'm not going to tax tips. I've got a brand new idea." And when Trump says, "I'm going to give a $5,000 tax credit for childcare," she goes, "That's a stupid idea." And then 3 weeks later, she goes, "I'm going to give a $6,000 credit for tax." You know, it's just these people are chameleons that are ugly to the depth of their souls. She's married to a Jew. She's doing what the Jews have told her to do. And she's been absolutely groomed her whole entire life to do exactly what her communist daddy raised her to do. And then she disowned him because he was too toxic, proof of her communist upbringing. Absolutely disgusting. In addition to that, both of her parents were here on immigrant student visas, and they were not American citizens. Therefore, she's an anchor baby. She is ineligible to be vice president or president because she's not a natural born citizen. And I doubt she's a natural born human being. She looks very reptilian to me.
Yeah, it is crazy. Puppeticians. All right.
Puppetation.
The Scottish Rite quadroons, man. I'm telling you, this is pre-Masonic thing. Zionism, all this shit. Goes back a long way. It goes back before Rome and Greece and all this shit. These guys are all part of a bloodline, and they all have this loyalty and this occultic belief that they don't put out in front of the public. People are just now starting to realize what these people are all about. But both sides have this thing. They're all part of this, is what I'm saying. It's controlled opposition, back and forth. And it just lowers the status quo and raises the debt.
And the bloodlines and the chosen people, I think that that has a connection going back to the origin in order to create a slave master race in order to control the sheeple. And that's what the bloodlines are about, so that you can have a lack of empathy, so that it really is a reptilian-like predator. All right, back to Kamala's border wall ad.
Kamala Harris has spent decades fighting violent crime. As a border state prosecutor, she took on drug cartels and jailed gang members for smuggling weapons and drugs across the border. As vice president, she backed the toughest border control bill in decades. And as president, she will hire thousands more border agents and crack down on fentanyl and human trafficking. Fixing the border is tough. So is Kamala Harris.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
Wow, what gaslighting. All right, Trump breaks the internet with a genius ad of Kamala debating herself.
Everyday prices are too high. Food, rent, gas, back to school clothes.
That is called Bidenomics.
A loaf of bread cost 50% more today.
Ground beef is up almost 50%.
There's not much left at the end of the month.
Bidenomics is working.
The price of housing has gone up. It feels so hard to just be able to get ahead.
And we are very proud of Bidenomics.
This has been a major issue for us.
Aha. That's pretty sharp. All right. And so I don't think enough attention has been put onto the topic, especially by the Trump campaign, that we don't have elections. But we have Texas Governor Greg Abbott removes over 1 million ineligible voters, including nearly 500,000 dead people and thousands of non-citizen from the state's voter rolls. That could be a big deal. We'll see how that plays out in the next 2+ months. And finally, they are this confident in cheating. I'll play about a minute of this.
Just made a really big decision. Afghanistan.
Yes.
Were you the last person in the room?
Yes.
And you feel comfortable?
I do.
We're in the middle of a crisis caused by this pandemic that is a public health crisis. We're looking at over 220 million Americans who just in the last several months died.
We are in the midst of a...
She said this twice, 220 million dead Americans. Twice she said this.
Public health epidemic that has taken the lives of over 220 million Americans.
You are really dumb, for real.
Everyone whose story could only be written in the greatest nation.
That's enough of that. All right, Joe, your thoughts.
This is a similar pattern in a whole bunch of states, but in Texas in 2008, when you vote in the primaries, your vote doesn't count. What they do is after the primaries, they elect delegates to the state convention. And those delegates are just the people that show up at the designated polling places and vote themselves to be delegates to go to the state primary. In Texas in 2008, they flooded every one of the Democratic things with black activists, and they nominated themselves to go to the convention. And even though Hillary Clinton won the state of Texas in 2008, they stole it in the state convention and gave it to Barry Santoro. Okay, so then in 2016, Bernie Sanders was ahead, and they stole the primary from him, and then they turned around in 2020, he was ahead, and they stole it from him and gave it to FJB, and FJB turned around and stole the general election from Trump. But now Bernie Sanders is saying openly that they stole the election from him in 2016, and they stole the election from him in 2020. He would have been a terrible Jewish president, but at least we would have had some proof that the system was not completely rigged by the Uniparty if he would have won. And so bottom line is, now you've got somebody with genuine bona fides as a Democrat who's saying that the Democrats cheated in two elections. So, you know, put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah, it is significant for Bernie to say that. Chris, your thoughts, brother?
There's no doubt. I've been saying that since 2016. It's the reason I've been kicked off Facebook since then, YouTube a few times as well. I'm not for socialism, nor really for the Sanders thing. I couldn't say that I always felt that way. I thought he was the only person that publicly addressed the banking crimes that were going on and the mass income inequality that was happening and the robber barons, although he didn't name their origin. It's basically a foreign invasion force that has dual citizenship with this country and exists at all positions of authority and high levels of power. So In my opinion, Sanders was absolutely disenfranchised and stolen from in 2016 within the DNC primary. You remember CrowdStrike filled in when everybody walked out in protest in Philly in 2016. I know people that were there. Strangely enough, I think a lot of these people are being killed. Sad to say, and I don't think it's because of the jab. A lot of these people that were Bernie or bust seem to be facing a lot of issues and troubles and mysterious deaths and untimely. I don't know. Maybe it's just me thinking this way, but the people that have gone through the bullshit in 2016 with that, then have seen it go on with Trump in 2020 on the other side. And it's almost like both sides have been so polarized they don't identify with each other because they're complete and total polar opposite in terms of political ideas. And it's by design. And this is an analytics game. Where they basically take human sentiment from social media. They don't really necessarily put it out for other people to see. They analyze it, they censor it as needed, and they put in their bots, their bits, their behavioral insight teams, their nudgers, their social influencers to really steer people into certain polarized political absurdities. And that is Donald Trump. He ran the Cambridge Analytica Say Anything campaign. And, he has ties to the Scottish Rite Freemasons, London, a lot of the C. Dillon Reed HUD stuff, mafia, the Jewish mafia, PayPal, thrice indebted by Rothschild. It sounds like fucking McKinley, or some of these other presidents. Sad to say, I really think that is a par for the course, that they put these men out there that are compromised and in such an economic conundrum. That they are forced to comply with, the big power, the shadow power. And I think really part of Trump is to distract away from that and to bring people towards certain things that maybe will appease the public. It'll be like the Reese, the Church, the Pike, the Rockefeller, the McClellan hearings, all those things in the past. Go on and on. Kefauver, I could name a dozen more, where the deep state investigates itself and finds really a limited hangout as the resolution, and they pass some law, which is just a complete rhetorical service and has really no deliverance towards justice or doing the right thing. These guys cover it up and nothing happens. Look at like what I was saying with the COVID thing, how many people they maimed with that. And here they are talking about lockdowns again for a few monkeypox cases or whatever the fuck they're talking about now. So, this is absurd. And the reason they're doing this and getting away with it is because nobody stopped them the last time they've done this.
Yep. Thank you, brother. Regarding the Harris optics and facts, went back to the barber yesterday, got a haircut. And, we were talking about just what's new, and he asked me about plans for the weekend. I said, I'm retired. It's all the same. And I ended up telling the whole barbershop the story of challenging Hayward Unified School District over their health orders. And then we started talking about the election. And the barber said, he was the owner of the shop who was cutting my hair. He says, yeah, the people who come in, who say they're for Biden and Harris, we ask them, can you tell us one thing that they've done that you like? And none of them can. And then they get all mad. And then we're like, bro, I thought we were supposed to be the angry ones. I told the barbershop about the Twitter X poll, 5.8 million people and approximately the ratio 3-1 for Trump, 75%. So we'll see how much of a demand there is going to be for the truth. Too soon for, I believe, anybody to feel good about it other than to take note of the ongoing exposure, because this thing can fly into a civil war. All right, the official bullshit requires official censorship to survive.
Hey, Carl, can I jump in real quick?
Yeah.
You were pointing out earlier about that statistic of people, Americans that have passed away or that have deceased by Kamala. That is roughly the same number that the Wolfowitz 2005 World Bank report and the 2005 Deagle population report for 2025 in the U.S. called for, that same, just about within 2 million, the same depopulation number around the one that she keeps mentioning. So I think it's some sort of symbol. It's like, eight ball corner pocket, like billiards or magic or, programming people with this occultism. They have to, in accordance to the book of law, mumble this out loud so that it is coherent enough to be understood by at least a few, so that there they put the warning out. And then this caveat emptor, buyer beware at that point. And really, that's why they do what they do with information and controlling censorship and shadow ban and you know, free speech and not reach and all those other things that they're putting on. It really keeps the word on the street from gathering the way it should be. And it allows them to turn a whisper into a shout and to turn a mountain into a molehill and vice versa. Like I said, that's how you can tell Trump was, on a side note, how you can tell Trump is part of the show is they went after the molehills and they ignored his mountains. So these guys, it's a gentleman's agreement. It's a kibbe type of theater for the public. They'll all meet up at Epstein's Island and do what they do together and laugh at our expense, literally.
Right. I've got something else on my tablet right now, so I can't check it. But to my memory, I don't think Reptile was ever elected to a statewide office until she moved to New York, where she'd never lived before, and ran for senator and would have lost to JFK Jr., had JFK not seriously disappeared under very in a Piper Saratoga. I've investigated that, and I'm pretty much convinced that the Bushes planted a bomb on the plane because there's evidence of that. But I'm also convinced that the plane had a pilot and that the pilot was in the plane by himself and that he was able to put the plane on autopilot. Bailout was picked up by a boat out in the ocean and was safely delivered, and that JFK Jr. and his wife and sister-in-law are probably somewhere undercover, and it would be wonderful if they could reappear and unite this country that way, because he was certainly doing some monumental work at George Magazine, and Reptillery never deserved to be a U.S. senator, much less Secretary of State, and she never would have been qualified to be a president. She's got a line of blood on her that's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, I got three JFK 2 snippets. One is a letter that he wrote to Senator Biden, accusing him of being a traitor. Interesting that Biden was promoted. Two is that this Vincent Fusca guy that we keep pointing to, and in the Trump assassination attempt, so-called assassination attempt, right behind Trump, there was those three guys standing up, and in the middle was Fusca, who just happens to have the exact facial features of JFK, too. And then earlier, several years ago, Fusca was shown sitting next to a woman who has exactly the same facial features as JFK2's wife. And then I'll put into the show notes at BitChute, John Hanke, retired AP U.S. history teacher, friend, colleague. He was the creator of the best documentary that I know of on the JFK assassination, Dark Legacy. But he also did a documentary on JFK2's airplane, showing the fuckery that went on with that. I'll put that into the show notes at BitChute. It's just Dark Legacy 2. And John Hanke is also the guy who did the documentary that I've shown several times. October 7 was an inside job. Anything else on that, guys?
No, good stuff. Good stuff.
All right.
There were a lot of strange naval drills in that region, whether it's the JFK Jr. rescue search or the TWA thing. You know, a lot of sketchy stuff that went down in the 90s, and the media wasn't always necessarily honest with us back then either. A lot of the PATCON ADL stuff that we always ramble on about, it was in the news, but they would totally steer it the wrong way. But, you know, people that were on the inside of this were revealing a much different story than what was truly going on. Waco being a good example, and many more, Ruby Ridge and a bunch more. There was a lot of entrapment exercises and a lot of things that were being done with the Scottish Rite Freemasons again back then in conjunction with the ADL and what they're doing. And think of the KKK and the ADL and their history in the South too, and all that stuff. So this is part of a playing the audience type of thing, I guess, in kafabi theater. And it does lead to real fatalities and real hostility and real violence. But most of the time it's promoted, instigated, and expanded by this group of provocateurs that you know, resides above suspicion and beyond prosecution. And they can do these things in the gray areas of the law and actually turn the law against you if you ever say anything about them or stand up to them, which is, you know, par for the course. They can flat out seem to kill people, it seems like, and get away with it, and the FBI covers up for them.
Yeah, and just to be clear on the point, that corporate media is a necessary element of having the empire, because you have to lie. You have to. And you lie about everything that's critical for the empire, and I'll put into BitChute notes, the published research that I have via the Claremont Colleges, a part of which was to demonstrate that all of the major networks told lies known to be false as they were told in order to pimp the war formerly known as On Terror. All right.
And the TW-800 missile shoot down, strangely enough, the presidential briefing notes that were in the National Archives were burgled by Sandy Burglar. He stuck them in his underwear, and they included margin notes that were handwritten by Slick Willie on all the kickbacks he was going to get from the manufacturers of the missiles and all the commitments he was going to get to cover up the military involvement in it to make sure that he had extra insurance for his little operation in the White House. Absolutely disgusting. And I'm sorry if I use the word disgusting repeatedly. Get over it. If you're dealing with a disgusting reality, there's not too many euphemisms you can use to describe it.
All right.
Yeah, Sandy Berger is one of the many guys that had a lot of evidence disappear from the National Archives. A lot of the other prosecutorial stuff seemed to vanish in the Oak City bombing, strangely enough, the World Trade Center, strangely enough, and the Pentagon missile, as Bill Clinton told us.
Yeah.
Correct.
All right, the official bullshit requires official censorship so that they're not arrested. Meet the Press host gets sick of lies and shows receipts. Now, this is interesting. I'm going to play a little bit of this.
But NBC is still a giant corporation that's feeding the masses the opiate of fake news.
She's proposing a ban on price gouging. Here is what Obama administration economist Jason Furman had to say. He said, quote, "This is not sensible policy. And I think the biggest hope is that it ends up being a lot of rhetoric and not reality. There's no upside here. And there is some downside." He warned effectively that price controls could ultimately stifle economic growth. So do you think that's the best way to bring down prices in Michigan?
Ooh, now I want to pause for a moment. This is Governor Whitmer. And that is a sharp question. She can't answer it, so she won't. Now, what these communists do, what these puppeticians do, is they have the talking points that they're supposed to make. And so she's just going to ignore the question and launch into her talking point, which is all that they do.
Well, I think people are reading too much into what has been put out there. We know that Kamala Harris is going to be focused on building up more affordable housing. We know that Kamala Harris has already delivered on making sure that health care is more accessible and affordable for Americans. And we'll protect Obamacare. That's a million people who have health care in Michigan right now that Donald Trump's been trying to rip away. That only adds costs onto people's backs. And so that's why I think this opportunity economy that Vice President Harris is talking about and laying the broad strokes for, I think shows we really do. She sees every American. She understands what people are struggling with and wants to help you keep more money in your pocket. The biggest part of our personal budgets go toward housing, go toward health care, go toward the fundamentals, and she's got a plan on all those fronts to help more Americans be able to get a path to prosperity. Well, Governor,
all right, so that was their talking points. That was the speech, and she ignores the point that, yeah, if she has a plan, how come she hasn't done it in the 3.5 years that she's been there? But she's going to get some pushback here.
Are you saying that folks are reading too much into it? And yet it is what the vice president is proposing. You have former President Trump calling the policies communist. The Washington Post editorial board called it a gimmick. Is this plan to ban price gouging anything more than a gimmick, Governor?
All right, so now she's trapped. She's going to have to admit that, yeah, it's a gimmick, and that Harris is just speaking gimmicks, or she's going to have to actually contest the idea of price controls, which economically is really stupid. So here's how she responds.
I think it speaks to Kamala Harris's values, that she wants consumers to keep more money in their pockets. She wants hardworking Americans to be able to get ahead. She wants to make sure that there is corporate responsibility. We know we've got to have business growth in this country, small business growth, big business growth for good paying jobs. But we also know that you can't gouge and hurt the American consumer just to pad your bottom line. And I think there's a balance there. And I think that's what this is all about.
So you think it's smart policy, Governor?
You know, I think that any effort we make to keep more money in Americans' pockets is worth walking the path and having the conversations and figuring out how do we make this economy work for everybody.
Are you asleep?
And where we have to go is we have to recognize that that is just pure bullshit. It's irresponsible. It's the anti-leader. Leadership will make proposals and take positions, but not these puppeticians. All right, this is Mike King's The Anti-New York Times, and he's pointing out that how Telegram's founder went from Russia's Mark Zuckerberg to a wanted man. So the idea that this guy is going to be arrested for Telegram, Mike brings out the point that from the article that is talking about in the New York Times, French prosecutors said Mr. Durov was being held as part of an investigation opened last month into crimes related to child pornography, fraud, drug trafficking, and money laundering. French authorities noted Telegram's lack of cooperation with law enforcement. Mr. Durov remained in custody, which can be extended through Wednesday. Now, I find that interesting because that can go either way. It could be perceived as an attack on free speech, which is the intention of our opponents, but it also points to that these platforms held in black hats are used to facilitate crimes against children. Going to New York, New York announces it will take citizen surveillance and censorship to the next level. So New York Governor Kathy Hochul, Democrat, of course, announced on Monday that the state will ramp up surveillance efforts of social media accounts and that law enforcement will take proactive measures, which means censorship, including contacting people on suspicion of using hate speech. So they have to control the message, and they're going to ramp it up, and they're going to try for entire censorship. Mark Zuckerberg just confirmed what we knew all along, and this is also very big, that Zuckerberg admitted in his letter that he had been contacted by the Biden administration with request for censorship. And this is from the Hawley interviewing Mayorkas, and Mayorkas is going to deny it.
2021, Rob Flaherty at the White House circulates a Zoom meeting invitation to Twitter employees stating White House staff will be briefed by Twitter on vaccine misinformation. We have example after example of this administration coordinated, apparently, according to a federal court, by your agency, pressuring, coercing social media companies to engage in censorship. Is that constitutional?
That is unequivocally false.
Is what the emails show.
It is unequivocally false, Senator.
You are not pressuring the big tech companies to take down accounts. You are not meeting with them to ask them to censor on your behalf.
That is correct. We are not.
Mr. Secretary, it has been established for years in this country, as you very well know because you're a lawyer, that the federal government may not use private third parties to engage in activities that are unconstitutional. That's exactly what you and this administration are doing. You are leveraging private companies to carry out censorship on your behalf. It's dystopian, but worse than that, it's unconstitutional.
It's also false.
That was a good legal point that that senator was making. And Zuckerberg's admission proves that Mayorkas lied under oath to Congress.
You are not pressuring the big tech companies to take down accounts. You are not meeting with them to ask them to censor on your behalf.
That is correct. We are not.
Liar, liar, your pants are on fire!
And then next, CNN cuts off RFK Jr. speech in mid-sentence. We're going to have a whole section on RFK too, but this is Jimmy Dore, and this is poignant. CNN is airing his speech, and they think they have the little thing here. RFK Jr. speaks on the future of his campaign, but when they hear what RFK 2 is talking about, they cut him off.
When yes. He announced that he was dropping out of the swing states and he was going to endorse Donald Trump, CNN cut away from that. And you want to watch how it happened?
Oh, I saw. Yeah.
So watch this. I got this from Christy Tallman's Twitter feed. Watch this.
My uncle and my father both relished debate. They prided themselves on their capacity to go toe-to-toe with any opponent in the battle over ideas. They would be astonished to learn of a Democratic Party presidential nominee who, like Vice President Harris, has not appeared in a single interview or an unscripted encounter with voters for 35.
So he's telling you the truth about the horribleness of what the Democratic Party is currently doing. They're installing a president. They're not using a democratic process. They're installing someone after they cooed Joe Biden, who got 14 million votes in the primary. So he's explaining that to you. And she's explaining that Kamala Harris hasn't even taken a question in what, how many days since she's been installed as the, she hasn't even, is five, I don't know, is it 5 weeks?
Jimmy, I don't care. I'm so afraid of Trump that he's my bin Laden now.
So watch.
So do whatever you guys have to do to destroy my freedoms to get that bad bin Laden.
Yep. He's the new. So watch this. So watch what, as he starts to tell, say this, watch what CNN does. I'll start at the beginning.
And remember, this is under the rhetoric that what the Democrats are really about is joyful democracy.
My father, both relish debate. They prided themselves on their capacity to go toe-to-toe with any opponent in the battle over ideas. They would be astonished to learn of a Democratic Party presidential nominee who, like Vice President Harris, has not appeared in a single interview or an unscripted encounter with voters for 35 days.
We've been listening to independent candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. from Phoenix outlining what led him to his quixotic quest for the White House, to now dropping out and relinquishing the title of
his quixotic.
Oh, so he was tilting at windmills with that all that stuff about the pharmaceuticals and the
yes. It's tragic comic, but it is ongoing, and that's what we have, and we still need to have a breakthrough because we haven't gotten there far enough. But yet, you know, we're seeing body blow against the deep state. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, and it's not just the FJB administration. DJT appointed Christopher Wray in 2017. Christopher Wray allowed all of the smears against Trump with the Russian collusion, did not investigate the Seth Rich, which would have proven that it was not Russian hacking that did it, did not oppose anything that Mueller did. And Mueller's the one that covered up the 911 attacks and the following anthrax attacks in 2001. So you had this cabal of bastards, and Ray was there when the Hunter laptop was turned over to the FBI, and he sat on it for a freaking year. And then when 51 intelligence agents came out and said it looks like it's Russian disinformation, he could have very easily said, no, we've got absolute proof that that thing's 100% Hunter's laptop, and every one of those nudes and child molesting and coke snorting and crack smoking was all 100% true, along with all the Burisma crap. And Christopher Wray covered all that up to make sure that we didn't get a second Trump term when we elected him for the second term. And Christopher Wray was eyeball deep in the 100 FBI agents that were undercover that were working to create the January 6th event. So don't tell me again how wonderful one particular party is. We had an asshole in the president's office that did not have the slightest capability of doing human resources, and he outsourced every one of his appointments to somebody else, and they ended up picking the worst cabinet in the history of the country. Trump has nobody to blame but himself for his failures during his first administration. He has nobody but himself to blame for losing the election in 2020, because he could have done far better as a president.
Strong points. Thank you, Joe. Yeah, decent defense, but no offense from Trump. Chris, your thoughts?
Yeah, like I say, this is a script. This is a theater. AIPAC runs both candidates there, and then down ballot, the 50-state solution. You saw with the Soros DAs what they're doing with stealing the 2020 election.
I guess he's not coming back for the moment. All right, we'll go on. He just got into the beginning. We saw what was happening in the 2020 election for the theft. All right. So back to more RFK2 information. And three updates with that. Tucker Carlson interviews RFK Jr. Now, with Tucker's audience, and these are just the points, I'm not going to play any of it, but the endorsement of Donald Trump, the official censorship, the health crisis, meeting with Trump, Kamala Harris refusing to meet with RFK. Ooh, Chris, you there, buddy? Not yet. Why did they? Okay, Chris, we only heard the very. Sorry, Chris, we can't hear anything. Nothing is coming through that we can hear. I'll do this section and then we'll go on.
Yeah, I got to go anyways.
Okay. All right. Well, do you want to give any final thoughts before you go? And I know that Joe has places to go too. You guys want to jump in with final thoughts and then I'll just go over the last section of the news and share those articles. Oops, Chris is out. Joe, you want to hang in here or you want to give your final thoughts?
Let's do final thoughts right now. And I don't know how to get from the chat section back to the menu where you can see my lovely face on the video. So
we see your face.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, there's another great site that I came across yesterday. And this is the bank that owns BlackRock. It's at a website called Megalomedia. It's already got 288,000 views. It's the history of the Bank of America, which is really interesting. Turns out Bank of America is the one that financed the Golden Gate Bridge. They decided that they needed to build a bridge to connect the two halves of the San Francisco Bay Area. But when they put out bonds to do it without using taxpayer money, nobody in the Depression had money to buy the bonds. So Bank of America stepped forward, conglomerated several banks, bought all of the bonds, created the Golden Gate Bridge. I was an engineering student when I crossed the Golden Gate Bridge the first time back in 1971. It was an absolutely stunning piece of engineering work, along with the Bay Bridge, which are both of them very incredible structures. I've got a book on it called High Steel, which gives the complete details on it. I may do that at some future closing comments. But the head of the Bank of America went on to fund, of all things, Snow White, which was the first full-length animated picture. Disney had tried to finance it himself and was about halfway through production of it and said that there's no way he could finance it on himself, and it was going to be the end of the Disney Corporation. And then he had a showing for the Bank of America guy, and the Bank of America guy said, yeah, we can make this happen. Turned out that it ended up costing them like $1 million to do the original Snow White animated feature. And they ended up making like $10 million within the first year because it was just such an enormous success. Disney Corporation went on to do other wonderful things. And my daughters grow up, you know, we grew up watching Bambi and, you know, Snow White and Sleeping Beauty. And so we saw all of the Disney movies when we were growing up. My daughters ended up watching the Disney movies of the 80s and 90s, which included Fox and Hound, Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast, Toy Story 1, Toy Story 2, Oliver and Company, Little Mermaid, absolutely wonderful stuff. Now Disney's embroiled Lion King. Now Disney's embroiled with doing action remakes of Snow White, and they decided they would get a woman who is half Polish and half Castilian Spanish, and she claims to be a Hispanic and a minority because she doesn't have any Native American blood from the Latino side that she's trying to claim, and she didn't even grow up learning to speak Spanish. And it's just like an absolute and they're being destroyed. They've spent $330 million building doing this movie, and they're talking about shit canning it without ever putting it even on Disney Plus because it's such a bad movie. And Ziegler, whatever her name is such a horrible actress and a horrible DEI influence. And she's been out there just trashing the original classic movie that made Disney his first fortune and made full-length animated films a thing in this country and in the world. So absolutely disgusting corporation. And this goes after, she was also involved in The Acolyte, which is another big bomb. And that's why they decided to put her on this one. And they were going to do Pirates of the Caribbean, all female versions. Like there was a bunch of female pirates that the seas. Give me a break. They'd have been they'd have been captured and raped by every male pirate that was out there. It was a ridiculous hypothesis, but the Disney Corporation is absolutely diseased and they need to go down. So that's my final thoughts for the day.
Well, thank you, Joe. And thanks, Chris, for being here. And we'll go ahead and continue on with the news. All right. Let's see. Oh, back to the RFK stuff. So Secret Service was withdrawn after RFK 2 endorsed Trump. Would RFK accept a position as CIA director? Why is the Democratic Party suing RFK? Real environmentalism and RFK's plan to get Trump elected. So all of that is reaching a large audience. Huge. RFK Jr. vows to stop the crime of chemtrails as part of the Trump administration. That is the first time I've heard anybody talk about that from a major platform. Kamala Harris and the Democrats want Kennedy dead after Trump endorsement. And that is with the withdrawal of the Secret Service protection, despite the fact of the history of his uncle and his father being capped. All right, let's see. We got COVID updates. Joe is still here, but he's not there. He's still.
Yeah.
Anything else that you want to say about RFK 2 or no?
Well, yeah, that just adds to another member of the Kennedy family that was snuffed by the machine. So, you know. And I think there's overwhelming evidence that the Piper Saratoga was blown up and that he was a pretty competent pilot. He had like 800 hours total, but not that much in general aviation aircraft. But he had a hell of a lot in ultralights, which are really underpowered and they're really flimsy things. And if you've got several hundred hours in ultra light flying planes, they're just 40, 50 horsepower powered kites. And if you can handle one of those through all kinds of different conditions, you can certainly handle a sophisticated airplane. And the weather reports were not that bad that day. And the evidence kind of suggests, but what we've got in the way of evidence there again is all completely tampered with.
Yeah, and if people do want to know, I do recommend John Hankey's documentary, Dark Legacy 2. He lays out the evidence, and the evidence, again, is sufficient to withdraw consent and demand arrest of those leaders in a criminal complicity for murder. All right, COVID, six of those. I guess this is more of the election optics that I put into the wrong place. Christine, ongoing crimes against humanity. Oh, yeah. This one I didn't play. California Democrats' proposal would grant $150,000 in assistance for down payments on homes to illegals. Play a little bit of this.
Well, Stuart, that is what Democrats are trying to ram through Sacramento right now. It's basically a program that subsidizes qualified illegal immigrants to up to $100,000 each to buy a home. So the program is called the California Dream for All program. It's created to help middle and income home buyers. Now, initially, the program required residents to be here legally, either a U.S. citizen or a legal permanent resident. But last week, Assembly Democrats overrode Republican opposition, changing that eligibility to say this: an applicant who meets the requirements for a loan under the Home Purchase Assistance Program shall not be disqualified by the agency based solely on the applicant's immigration status.
The social and economic benefits of...
And that's in the California that Kamala Harris claims to uphold the values of. All right, COVID. Christine Massey, freedom of information request. And the point that she is making is that nobody has any evidence. CDC confesses our DHCPP experts have never obtained scientific evidence of any alleged virus, including hantavirus. No avian influenza virus, no monkeypox virus, nothing. There isn't any evidence that these things exist. And that was a point that I continued to make regarding COVID, and that the substitution for the flu, the test, I'll go ahead and put into the show notes here, a bit sheet again, the paper that I have with the CDC and 100 plus major health organizations, scientific organizations, all admitting in those freedom of information requests that they don't have any examples of COVID-19, and that the test for COVID was designed from a generic flu stock, and that the flu was what they were testing for, and the flu was what they got, and then they had to get rid of the flu, so they said during COVID, flu disappeared by 99%, as if that's rational. All right, Steve Kirsch, piling on the data. Denmark, Finland, and Norway graphs show all-cause mortality kept rising after the shots rolled out. Yes, they did. And that is going to be associated with and connected to those shots, except not in any official explanation. And that's why they have to have official censorship. U.S. and U.K. all-cause cumulative excess mortality graphs clearly show that our interventions were counterproductive. Yeah. So something went wrong. The simplest way to show the COVID shots increase all-cause mortality, and we just have the unvaccinated, we're doing better than the vaccinated. It's not a coink-a-dink. In the UK, ONS, excess deaths in the UK cannot be caused by the COVID shots. A Lancet paper lists the possible causes of the 8% excess death rate in the UK. The COVID vaccine isn't listed. Yeah, they're saying, oh, yeah, well, it might be this, it might be that, it might be the COVID causing these deaths after the fact. Yeah, they have to lie, and that's what they have to do, and then make it illegal to say anything on any of these platforms contrary to the official story in order for to protect public health. And this is the second smartest guy in the world, and again, the hope that once we win, we're going to have breakthroughs in health, subscriber success stories, arthritis, vaccine shedding, parasites, precancerous melanoma, and stage 4 lung cancer. And that's with ivermectin.
And speaking of ivermectin, a Houston area doctor got a group of several doctors and they sued the FDA. Her name is Mary Bowden, B-O-W-D-E-N. And the FDA just admitted that they had no evidence and they had no right to discredit ivermectin, and that they apologized for it publicly because they're trying to get out about being really having their clock clean. And in addition, they've got ample evidence that the PCR tests, in addition to not being able to tell you that you had a disease, were also loaded with nanotubes, which delivered the same kind of threat vectors that you got with the mRNA jab. So they were poisoning you multiple ways. Even if you didn't want to get a jab, that you were forced to go get your sinuses probed. And in the process, they poked contaminants right at the end of your olfactory nerve, which is one of the few holes that goes directly through your skull and into your blood-brain barrier. And that's exactly how people got toxic and viral loads without ever having taken the viral exam. So bottom line is they figured out every way possible to poison us. And now they're putting mRNA crap in dental analgesics. So if you go in and get a Novocaine shot to have a tooth pulled or a cavity filled, you're going to end up getting mRNA from that. It's like absolutely disgusting excuse for genocidal maniacs running our whole entire medical establishment. Horrible.
Well said. All right, finally, what forms will the breakthrough, breakout, breakdown manifest? And I just want to remind you that 9/11 is still a big job in the background, waiting to be exposed among so many others. And this is just the firefighters talking about the explosions that they conclude were happening on 9/11. London Parliament Square Rally, September 4th. This is David Icke's website. And this, what's happening in the UK, like every other country, I'll pay attention to, and the people are standing up. And in the UK, the Blade Runner is at it again, and they're destroying this facial recognition
of that
camera.
You guys. That's B.
Day after it was installed. It is saw through.
Spider-Man has got the goods. Ta-da. You, Liz. Spider-Man has got the goods. Have some of that.
Yet if we don't get something breaking through by the election, we are going to be seeing a lot more acts like that. Australia won, Ricardo Bozzi. And this is a, I'll just read it. Professional politicians in the major parties have ruined our country, serving not the citizens of the nation, but representing foreign powers and ideologies, as well as other special interest groups. We must make the choice not between left and right, but between right and wrong. And I want to let Ricardo give a statement to everybody in the country who's wondering what to do.
All right, well, just as A1 is a group of just a group of people with one common vision, that's to save Australia. That's it. And so is it possible that a bunch of bad guys got together to destroy the planet? Absolutely. And it's equally plausible that there's a bunch of good guys that said, we better do something about it. And these guys are in high places with access to technology, access to capabilities, to people, networks. And they are working to help us, just like we are helping ourselves. But we have to help ourselves because everyone's saving their own country. And I was asked today on an international interview, how can we help Australia? And I said, that's easy. Save your own country, because what we've got to do is stretch our adversaries to fight this world war for the world on every front possible. So right. If you only got one enemy, you can focus all your resources on that one enemy. And then you do the next and the next in sequential fashion.
Right.
But if everybody fights, if everybody brings their country to a standstill, and we do this simultaneously through nonviolent non-cooperation, then our adversary doesn't have the resources to deal with it. They're already trying to deal with the schism in the Masons and the Masonic Lodge. For the low-level people, it's just a gentleman's club where you get to promote your business. But as you get further up, they're big into pedophilia and they cover it up. And as you get further up still, they're into satanic ritual abuse. Check it out, SRA. And if you don't know what, look it up. Just look it up for yourself. But what's happened is because we've been able to come out and name our adversary and go, you know what, the Moronic Masons are doing it again. And you got to understand, the police force, it controlled. They control the Masons. And there's a schism right down the middle. And you've got the really sick buggers up the top who are worried about the low-level ones who think it's a gentleman's club. And there's this huge division, and they're desperately trying to keep the two together, but they can't. They're being ripped apart. Once that mechanism collapses, and it's in a state of collapse right now.
It seems to be the glue that sticks them together, Ricardo, doesn't it? It's the common glue that holds them all together.
And that's how they've managed to control the country. Yeah, the Masonic network. But they are losing, and they know they are losing. They are desperate, yeah. So it's okay. The White Hats are this group of people that have been operating against these guys. Now, the plan against which they're operating is a multi-decade plan, very sophisticated, very careful. And so to defeat that, you need to have this measured, sophisticated, careful plan to beat it. It's not just simply a matter of flying the paratroops in, the 101st Airborne, the 82nd Airborne, and putting guns in people's heads. Because you could arrest the entire parliament, and you haven't solved the problem. Because the judges are all corrupt. The High Court's corrupt. The lawyers are corrupt. The police are corrupt. The military's corrupt. Everybody. They're all done.
Yeah.
So you can't do it that way. So they have to do this in a careful, measured way in order to make sure that they get everybody. Now, you've got to understand this. We're going to have some great wins in the next 5 years. Australia will change dramatically. But the work won't be done for another 3 or 4 generations. We're talking about at least 100 years before we can finally literally sit back and go, oh, thank Christ, that's done.
All right. And that's Ricardo Bozzi, who is of the conclusion that I share as well, is that we are taking a look at a white hat operation. And I'll put into the show notes at BitChute the sources of information that lead me to that conclusion. And for me, for final thoughts, nothing new other than the context I set out in talking about the news stories. We have 9+ weeks until the election, and we need to have a breakthrough by then. Otherwise, there's going to be a major escalation in AMREF 2 and World War 3 in terms of citizen participation and the discovery of things that we can do. And we shall see more and more of those steps as we get closer and closer to that date. All right, Patriots, thank you very much. And we'll be back sometime over the weekend with Brian with more of the news that you need to know.